Until another message from my master's thesis on the near cult. We talked about healing and the atonement. Healing is not in the atonement. The atonement covers the resurrection of the body. We covered the book of James also in the 5th chapter, verses 14 through 16. Who, what, where, when, and why, who's speaking, who is he speaking to, and what's the subject. Even during this time, miracles were still in effect because this is the apostolic age that they were written in. Yes, we should pray for the sick if it's God's will to heal them and raise them up. We don't need any more extra biblical revelation today because we have a perfect revelation. It is frozen in stone. We talked about the charismatic movement and the modern revelations that they have. They always have a message. They always have some revelation from God. Not all these revelations are false, but they're not from God. My stepfather, Dusty Rhodes was his name. He was a driller in oil wells. He was a drilling superintendent. And he was raised a charismatic all of his life. He was terribly terrified of being saved and falling away from the truth because he thought that after he was saved, if he ever sinned, that he would be lost and would be no hope for him. I loved him very much. He did not raise me, but my mother and I was 21 years old, I believe, when my mother married him, and I had been living with her anyway. But he was a good man, a real good Christian man, reality. I used to say, I said, Dad, I said, if my church members were as good as Christians as you are, I'd smile. He gave to the church. He prayed before every meal. Always. But he would not be saved. He came to church. He heard me preach. And he was diagnosed with lung cancer, incurable, and could not be medicated. There was nothing they could do for him, they said. He only had one lung. And so it was a death sentence. They put him on hospice. And he went a couple of times to Pentecostal churches and went down forward to seek healing. And he wasn't healed. Finally, he got very ill. And he looked at me and he said, Jimmy, he says, I can't go to church anymore. I can't drive myself. He said, would you take me to church? Would you take me to so-and-so church? The first thing he did, he had me take him out to Ford City, where Pentecostal Church was there. I took him there, and he went down every time to the altar and prayed for healing. And they would lay hands on him, anoint him with oil and things, and command God to heal him. He'd go away with cancer just like he came. Finally, only a few blocks from his house, there was another Pentecostal church there that was related to the other Pentecostal preacher out there in Ford, and they were having a revival there with a woman minister. And I took him there every day. I sat there and he'd go forward for healing every time. And he'd go back and go back and go back and go back. Of course, you know, I was raised in this stuff. I've seen it all my young life. I saw the despair in his face and the death sentence upon him. And I talked to him before I took him there the last time. I said, Dad, this is white magic that's going on here. I said, if God was going to heal you, he would have healed you, but without their powers. And I said, I prayed for you to be healed all the time. I said, Dad, but you need to be born again. You need to be saved. I said, you're going to face eternity, and you're religious all your life. I said, but you're going to face eternity and be naming the name of Jesus all the way to hell if you don't ask the Lord to forgive you and save your soul. I walked forward with him that night. I led him in prayer to be saved. And then they laid hands upon him to heal him. And they got up, and the woman evangelist looked. And this is what she said that night. She said, you know, Brother Rhodes' son here is not a believer in what we believe. And I thought all during this meeting, because he was here, that Brother Rhodes wasn't being healed. And I blamed it on him. That's on me. Because I did not believe in what they were doing. But she had a prophecy. She says, tonight, Brother Rhodes was saved and he's going to be in heaven. And she said, that son led him in prayer. And I have this to say about Brother Phillips. He is a great preacher and has been a great preacher in the past, but he's going to be greater ever than before. Well, yeah, that came true. But the prophecy did not come from God. My dad died in the arms of Jesus. I was with him when he died. I did not ever look upon him as my dad, Dale, or my father, but I respected him greatly and I thought he was a great man. But that Armenian theology kept him from being saved all his life. On the way home that night, he said, Jimmy, I wasted my life. You were right all along. I wasted my life. I could have done so much for the Lord if I had just heard what you were saying. I just didn't believe it. But he said, now I do. He said, thank you for being more than a son to me. He said, I hadn't treated you good. He said, sometimes I've done bad things to you. But he said, you've been more a son to me than my own children. And he said, you always preach the truth to me. Today I'm preaching the truth to you. I'm preaching the truth to you, like I preached it to my dad. God could have healed my dad from that lung cancer if he saw fit to do it. But he wasn't going to do it through the hands of conjurers and white magic. But he did save his soul forever. I don't know whether he's listening from heaven for this message today, but he's there. He repented of his sins. He asked the Lord to save his soul. And he's there. That movement kept him away from God all those years. And how many people, how many millions of people have died in their sins? How many millions of people have died in their sins? On page 27 in my master's thesis, prostituting the gifts of God degrades what the apostles actually did and the great miracles that they did. This warning is desperately needed by God's born-again saved people today in 1 John 4:1. Present-day Christians must recognize that the Bible, rightly understood and implicitly obeyed, is the only sure protection against demonic delusion and despoilment of evil powers, and can accomplish their deceptions only when the Word of God is ignored and disdained and looked down upon by so-called Christians. Are susceptible to the demonic influence today because they are ignored God's revelation in His Word, the frozen facts of Revelation. The Bible is the impregnable armor of God for Christian men and women who live it. White magic. The charismatic movement in white magic. Obviously, a conjurer who evokes God's name and deceptively forces a cure with the alleged help of God opposes or disregards God. The theologically viewed, such a venture is basically rebellion. Man commands the transcendent authority. Man wants to have God at his disposal, at his command. This arrogance is basic position of magic, white magic. Now, I told you the difference between white and black magic in the last message was that black magic causes death and curses as the voodoo dolls. But in voodoo society and white magic society, they cure people. They go to them for cures. Dusty told me, my stepdad said, that his dad became a believer in the 1920s in the Pentecostal Church of God. He never took the kids to a doctor ever again. Never. He'd call the preacher, and he'd pay the preacher. But he never called a doctor ever again to their home. And many of them needed medical care. The dynamics of white magic. Demonic powers energize the practice of white magic. Inasmuch as it opposes God and His will, this can happen only when, and even when, the scriptures are professedly followed with Christian prayers, evoking the name of God by the laying on the hands and anointing with oil, through without magic rigmarole and enchantment procedures. If the practice opposes God's will as expressed in scripture, danger of demonic intrusion is always present. In some European countries where magic conjuration and occultism is generally practiced for hundreds of years, many centuries, the method of conjuring is very complex and tainted with superstition. Now we're reviewing the last part of the last message, but I'm doing it for a purpose. The name of the triune God is always used in these enchantments and aims to place the divine powers in the service of man, or at the command of man. Charm words are often underscored with charm acts, as stroking and sprinkling with the ashes of burned reptiles, or with water drawn from holy places. From the Catholic churches, the Protestant churches, where they have this water they sprinkle children. Or from the Jordan River, or from the Sea of Galilee, or some holy place where they went at midnight on Easter. The transference and conjuration aims at the banning of sicknesses by sending in some animal or inanimate object, sending the sickness into some animal or inanimate object, a tree. There's been legends where somebody cast the demons out or sicknesses out of a person into the tree, and the tree instantly died. That's possible, because Satan's involved. Jesus cursed trees, didn't he? Magic literature reputed guides a healing conjurer, and subjecting the spirit helper to the purpose is to force a cure, allegedly with the help of God. But enlisting spirits, the enlisted spirits are not of God. In some of this white magic culture and white witchcraft, by the way, black witchcraft is that which opposes God and uses curses. White witchcraft heals people and gives revelations, just like in the Pentecostal Church of God and the Assemblies of God. Amy McPherson. All of these, A.A. Allen, Smith Wigglesworth. I talked about him in the first message. Smith Wigglesworth, people would go forward from him for healing. Now, he was born in 1859. He lived to 1947. Smith Wigglesworth was a real weird, what we call evangelistic healer. People would come up to him with some ailment in their stomach or something, and the first thing he'd do, he'd knock them down on the floor and stomp them right in the stomach and command the demon to come out. They said he was so violent in his cures like that. And I mentioned this once before, they brought him a baby that basically, they said, was dying. That didn't have a chance to live at all. It was about 12 days old or something, old, 2 months old maybe. And he took the baby from the arms of the mother and threw it against the wall. And then walked over where it fell on the floor and kicked it across the room and then picked it up and threw it in the arms of his mother. Out in the congregation. Said, he's healed now. I kicked the devil out of him and the sickness out of him. And the little child did live. These crazy things. And all of them come with a price. I went to A.A. Allen's tent meetings. He's evangelist in A.A. Allen Evangelistic Association. And I'll tell you what, they sent that offering plate around 10 times. He'd say out there, God's spoken to me. There's people out there that haven't given, and you've got hundreds of dollars in your pocket. God wants you to turn loose of it now. Turn loose of it. And put it in that offering plate. Glorify God with it. He'll replace it tenfold. Health and wellness. Prosperity gospel. Oh yeah. Beautiful, flattering words like Joel Osteen. All these different ones that make you feel so good. And you want to give to them so you'll get rich. I need your help financially, yes. But I'm not going to tell you, if you give me $5, you're going to get $500. Give me $5, it'll go to the glory of God. Or whatever. There are popular manuals on white magic and what you do with it. I went to A.A. Allen's meetings and he'd slap people on the back, slam them in the spirit, and all of a sudden a toad would go jumping across the floor, or a frog, or a crawdad. And he said, don't touch it, don't touch it, that's a demon, just let it go, that's a demon. Oh boy, charlatans. One of the popular manuals on this divine healing and white magic is the 6th and the 7th books of Moses. Now this comes from Jewish literature. By the way, the palm readers and the tarot cards are all from Jewish origin. These 7 books of Moses supposedly instruct you on the would-be healer in enlisting the power of spirits to heal people. See, prophecy, all of this stuff, and tarot cards, fortune tellers, all of this is from the same source, people. It's all white magic. The odds of healing and conjurations are usually 6 humans. But in certain parts of Europe now, they call, especially in the Black Forest of Germany, the conjuring of cattle is also common. Many farmers feel conjuring is cheaper than and produces quicker results than the services of a veterinarian. They also conjure health to their fruit trees and their orchards and their crops. Yes. Every year at planting time, my stepfather called the preacher out. I want you to bless this seed as it goes in the ground. Bless it as it goes in the ground. The crop would come back bigger. Bless the trees. If they had a sick fruit tree, they called the preacher. And he'd pray over it and anoint it with oil. And the tree would get well or better, worse. Maybe he'd make this firewood out of it, whatever. Be holy firewood, according to them. The deceptiveness of healing by white magic. Since cures by white magic take place under the guise of Christian truth and allegedly by the power of God, this type of healing is much more widespread than black magic. Now, black magic heals too. But mostly black magic heals by the powers of the dark world, not by God. By the powers of Satan. White magic usually evokes the powers of God. And much more deceptive. Naive believers, and sometimes those who have some knowledge of the God's word, are ensnared, believing this healing method to be Christian. In reality, the use of the Lord's name in effecting such healings violates the second commandment, "Thou shalt not use the Lord thy God's name in vain, for he will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain." Exodus 20 and verse 7. That's why the Hebrew people never used the name of Jehovah again. They were afraid to speak his name, but people say, "In Jesus' name, I command you." Jesus' name, I've heard it so many times, and every time it makes me shudder. Using the Lord's name in vain. The Hebrew words literally is, "He who takes and lifts up his name for a falsehood uses it in wickedness to deceive or to give wrong impressions." This is exactly what the magic healer does. He prostitutes God's holy name for an unworthy purpose. God is not a handyman who obeys when a magic charmer commands him to do it. Let me read that to you one more time. In this faith healing and white magic, they prostitute God's holy name for an unworthy purpose. Every one of them have an offering plate. Every one of them want a gift when they go. God is not a handyman at their disposal who obeys when the magic charmer commands. Nor is God used as a tool or be forced by man, even unconsciously and ignorantly. The use and force in prayer is completely at variance with simple trust and obedience. Incalculated throughout God's word and runs counter to the believer's petition, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Matthew 6 and 10. Pressure in prayer can never be justified. If somebody that I talk to in church or whatever, I never try to pressure them into praying in God's name to save their soul. I never pressure them to it. The reason why I don't pressure them to it is because God's Spirit's got to be involved. They will ask me. I'm not going to force them. They will ask me to pray with them, to help them on that journey to the Lord. Numerous faith healers have held unsound views on the person and work of the Holy Spirit and on the subject and spiritual gifts of sanctification. First of all, the Holy Spirit never magnifies himself. He magnifies Jesus. And all of these are talking about half of the messages that I've heard is about the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost. And I've seen them roll in the aisles. I've seen them dance up and down and scream and holler and the whole house shaking so bad. And I was a little child, it scared me. I thought all the gates of hell were turned loose. I heard all this screaming, moaning and talking in tongues and things. It was scary. Kurt Trampler, a Munich author and lawyer who cures have been authenticated by the Freiburg University for Parapsychology, uses the name of God and Christ, but forsakes the clear line of a New Testament teaching presenting a dangerous mixture of pantheistic and mystic and natural religions and Christian elements. New Age religion also. The same doctrinal confusion characterizes the ideas and methods of early American healer Phineas Parkhurst, Quimby, 1802 to 1866. In the New Thought movement, he started, "All sin and sickness are considered an illusion of the mind." Christian Science. Just as a person under hypnosis can think away his pains, so it was taught, can anyone in the waking state cause the sickness to go away? Deny it. By considering pain and sickness and their causes as illusions, you may make them disappear. This essential anti-Christian idea became the basic concept of Mary Baker, 1821 to 1910. Healed under Quimby, Mrs. Eddy subsequently became the founder of the cult called Christian Science, which is not Christian nor science at all. It promotes the idea of healing by mind over matter, a kind of mental therapy in which the supernatural is said to operate. This system blatantly distorts the word and is basically anti-Christian. Faith healers whose teachings and methods are tinged with magic and superstition need to be examined for possible occult subjection. Have you ever been involved in this? Are you involved in this right now? All of you out there, this message goes all over the world. You know, the first message that I preached on the near cult, an examination of the charismatic movement, in the first 30 minutes it was out there, there were 640 downloads in 30 minutes. Now, I haven't put any of these other messages out yet, but they're going. People all over the world are hearing the truth that I preach. I'm not preaching this truth to in a vicious manner. But if I didn't tell you the truth, I wouldn't be your friend. And I wouldn't love you. So I must tell you these truths. God wants to love you and take you to heaven with him. But if you're caught up in this mesmeristic mass hysteria, I beg you to look at God's word. Now, as we go through here, we're not finished by a long shot. This thesis is only half finished so far. We're going to tell you when the gift ceased. We're going to tell you when these powers ceased and all of that in the future. You need to have a personal relationship with the God of heaven. But the only conveying tool that will get you to heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ, his coming here, and the miracles that he performed were really miracles, signs, and wonders. He raised the dead. He put arms on people that didn't have arms, legs on people that didn't have legs, sight that they never had, hearing that they never had, cured leprosy instantly by the power of the Holy Spirit. The apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus gave them the power to go out and heal in their limited commission, and they healed people. There was one case where there was a demonic possession. And the person says, your disciples couldn't heal them. Oh yeah, they could have. By the way, it says there, this can only be done by much prayer and fasting. That's not in the original language. It's not there. They just didn't think they could. They had the power to do it. They had all powers. To raise the dead. Yeah. To heal the sick. The lame. But today we don't have those powers, people. God heals people today, yes. Look at me. For the last 8 years I've been dying from poisoning that was given to me. Induced. Mercury and arsenic. I had cancer almost 20 years ago. I had radiation and chemotherapy, and my hair all fell out. It got very thin, as you maybe watched me over the years preaching. But there's something weird happening right now. My hair is turning blacker again and coming back. I didn't ask him to do that. Just happening. I may not live another year. It's all up to God's will. He's kept me here. Kept me here to preach for you. Kept my wife alive through all of her illnesses. We've been married for 21 years. The first year we were married, she had pneumonia 4 times. Marilyn?
What?
You had pneumonia 4 times the first year we were married? Yeah, 4 times. Had a lung disease she wasn't supposed to live over 5 years with, and God knew I needed her. And here we are 21 years later, and the doctor said, you know, you're supposed to die a long time ago. When I was poisoned with arsenic and mercury, they told me I wouldn't live 2 months. So get your things in order. That's 8 years ago. I'm dying from that still. I still have the results of it. I'm shaking like a leaf from the mercury, and my blood vessels are being destroyed. I probably would have lived and been 100 years old if I hadn't been poisoned. And I may die any time. But you know what? It is God's will that I'm standing here today by His power. Never ask Him to heal me. I said, Lord, just give me the strength to go on today. Every day, one day at a time. And I have goals. I want to finish the book of Acts. I want to finish this, the near cult. Biblical hermeneutics and systematic theology. These things, these goals that I have. But only if God wills. So far, He's willed. If I'm not preaching after this message, you know, it was time for me to go home. It was God's will. Yes, we have all of this antichrist people. In this charismatic evangelical society, there's no evangelism there. They're not talking about Jesus except commanding Him, using His name in vain. They're not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is that God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that He might redeem those who are under the law. The gospel is in the 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verses 1 through 5. That Jesus Christ came into the world at the right time according to the Scriptures. That He died according to the Scriptures. He was buried according to the Scriptures and raised according to the Scriptures. And proven. The death, burial, and resurrection, all of the miracles He did and all the miracles that the apostles did, don't play it down by prostituting the gifts of God and saying God's doing it. That was for a time and for a place. Then, who, what, where, when, and why. Our Father, I send this message out for Your honor, for Your glory, and for Your edification, that people will call upon You and bypass priests and ministers and all. Father, as You know, no minister led me to You. It was Your Spirit, Your conviction. I pray in Jesus' name that You send this out, Father, to glorify Yourself with it.